Hello, welcome to the Saturn edition of your local talking newspaper covering St Albans and the surrounding district. This edition is for the week ending November 14th, 2020. My name is Alex, I'm the editor of the programme. Due to the ongoing coronavirus situation, we're still unable to record in our studio, so this edition is being produced from home. I'm joined remotely from their homes by Alison, Claire, Kalpana and Peter, who will be reading the news, and John, who will be reading the radio listings. A massive thank you to them for helping out. The music this week is a piece of my music, which I've written and recorded over the last couple of weeks. It is inspired by a few different styles, including progressive rock and West African popular music. It's probably not what you're used to hearing, so I do hope you enjoy it. As usual, the whole piece will be played at the end of the recording. All the news items in this recording have been taken from the Hearts Advertiser, and we will finish with a summary of the radio programmes we think you might enjoy over the next week. Here is Alison with the first news item.
Hello, this is Alison. My first story has the headline, New Playground Opens at Verulamium Park. The wait is over. The new 250,000 children's playground at Verulamium Park is now open to the public. The play park is divided into zones reflecting the city's history, including a Roman-style theatre and basilica, a market street, and a main pathway named Watling Street. Among the features are a multi-seesaw, five-way swing, a battering ram group swing, stepping posts, two carousels, Roman numeral hopscotch, and a picnic area. The play area was designed by specialist firm Compan after it won a competitive tender. It has been built on the site of the three aging tennis courts and is close to the park's outdoor gym, mini golf, and beach volleyball courts. Plans to hold a launch event were cancelled because of the pandemic. The existing playground, which was installed around 25 years ago and had reached the end of its life, has been dismantled and the area will be grassed over and returned to its natural state. Park owners, St Albans District Council and community group Verulamium at Play raised more than £60,000 of funds. Councillor Anthony Rowlands, portfolio holder for Leisure, Heritage and Public Realm, said, "I am hugely impressed by this fantastic new community asset, which will bring great fun and joy to thousands of our residents and visitors for years to come. It is one of the most extensive playgrounds I have seen in a public park and has an astonishing number of rides and other features that children are going to love." The opening of the playground is the culmination of several years of campaigning and fundraising, and I thank all those who were involved with that. It has been clear for a long time that the district's flagship park was badly in need of a new play area, and all the money needed to provide it was not available in our hard-pressed budget. Verulamium at Play helped immensely with a fundraising drive, and representatives from the group joined a panel that chose the final design so that they were heavily involved in the whole process. "We have delivered an imaginative, interactive play area packed with exciting and engaging features in an outdoor place where people are allowed to come during the current lockdown." Jessica Chivers from Verulamium at Play said, "We listened to what children and parents wanted from the very start of this project and hope that they love what's been delivered. Our Roman heritage and inclusivity were at the heart of the design. All of us at Verulamium at Play are absolutely delighted to be bringing this early Christmas present to the children of St Albans District." Additional funds for the project came from S106 payments given to the council by property developers. This is money for community infrastructure in recognition of the impact a new development may have. The council's City Neighbourhood Committee, which manages some of St Albans' community assets, also contributed to the project.
Hello, this is Claire reading. My first article is about remembrance services across St Albans. With lockdown restrictions forcing a different approach to this year's Remembrance Day commemorations, communities across the district still managed to honour our fallen heroes. A An eye-catching display of poppies on the glass doors of St Paul's Church, Hatfield Road, were among the features of the church's commemoration of Remembrance Sunday. St Paul's also marked the day with two online services and the placing of a wreath at the War Memorial in Hatfield Road Cemetery. Associate Minister Reverend Peter Crumpler said, "Despite a congregation not being allowed into church, we still wanted to publicly commemorate Remembrance Sunday." The poppy display, created by Nicola McKinnon, proved an excellent way to declare our gratitude to and to remember those who have lost their lives in conflict around the world. Inside the church, poppy displays arranged by Margaret Whiting and Jack Peacock were featured in the online services and on social media. London Colney Parish Council organised a parade from Caledon Community Centre to the War Memorial on the High Street, which was followed by refreshments. Children of Bernard's Heath Junior School created poppies for an art installation. The cascade of poppies is made up of over 360 poppies, one made by every child in the school. School leadership said it was a lovely way to bring everyone together during these difficult times, adding that it has been a reminder that, despite becoming so used to being in year group bubbles, the 360 individual children can create such beautiful things when they work together. St Albans Rainbow Trail Facebook group also invited followers to design their own remembrance pictures and put them up in their windows. A COVID-secure commemorative service was recorded at the Civic Centre by Mayor Councillor Janet Smith due to the cancellation of the annual Remembrance Sunday parade in St Peter's Street. Tommy silhouettes were also placed at the memorial and at the west door of the cathedral. The mayor said, "Remembrance Sunday is one of the most moving and important occasions in the district, and the council plays a major role in its organisation. I was deeply saddened by the fact that annual parade could not be held this year because of the pandemic. However, people can still take time to pay their respects and remember the brave servicemen and women who lost their lives or were injured while serving in the armed forces. I'm sure our whole community will observe the 2-minute silence on Sunday or Wednesday, and I hope many people will take up my invite to watch our special online service. This is our way of recognising the debt we owe to the men and women who sacrificed their lives in the defence of this country. We must always remember them." This article is accompanied by pictures of the various events that were going on in St Albans.
Hello, this is Kalpana Block. And this first story relates to COVID-19 within Hertfordshire. It's titled "Shops and Schools Among Top Spots to Get COVID-19. Shops and schools are amongst the most common places to pick up COVID-19 virus in Hertfordshire, according to the latest data. Latest local contact tracing data, analysed by public health officials, suggests that 289 cases recorded over the past week have been picked up in shops. Meanwhile, 296 pupils, students or staff are believed to have picked up the virus whilst at school, college or university, and 124 have contracted the virus from pubs or restaurants. Hertfordshire's Director of Public Health, Jim McManus, says that based on the national infection levels, every trip to the shops is now likely to include contact with at least one person with the virus. Mr. McManus added that those who have been infected by COVID-19 while shopping have said that they may not have properly distanced in stores or taken the necessary precautions. The data was made available on Wednesday, the 4th of November, just hours before the latest national restrictions were due to come into force. Without the restrictions, the latest modelling suggests the number of COVID-19 deaths in the country could reach a peak of 32 a day in February. But as a result of the restrictions, it's estimated that the peak daily death rate in the country could reduce to 4. In addition, it is said that the lower peak figure would not be reached until March, and that would reduce the deaths in the country overall and take away pressure from the hospitals. The modelling estimates that the latest restrictions will reduce infection rates by 40%, which is lower than the 70% estimated to have resulted from the previous lockdown in spring, reflecting the decision to keep schools and universities open.
highlighting scientific evidence that pointed to the harm associated with not being in education, Mr. McManus said that there was a balance to be made. Support in place for education settings in Hertfordshire includes a 7-day help desk and guidance, with support from infection control nurses, environmental health officers and health and safety managers, representing £1.2 million in staff time and expertise. Nationally, the rate of infection stands at around 243 per 100,000 in the population. In Hertfordshire, the rate continues to increase, but is less than half of the national level at around 116.5 per 100,000 of the population.
Hello, this is Peter. And my first piece of news has the headline, Residents Look Up Together for Cathedral Fireworks Display. Families took to the streets of St Albans on Saturday night to watch as the skies above were lit up with spectacular fireworks display. Organised by St Albans Cathedral, the annual fireworks event usually tracks up to 20,000 people to Verulam Park, but because of COVID restrictions, it was reimagined this year as a Look Up Together community display. Following a successful crowdfunding campaign, £40,000 was raised to put on the show, with at least £20,000 being donated to local charities, the Hospice of St Francis, Youth Talk and the Cathedral itself. At exactly 6 p.m, 10 minutes of simultaneous displays took place from secret sites across the city, with rockets fired from the Cathedral's 11th century Norman Tower to signal the start. Thousands from around the world also watched the display live on the Cathedral's YouTube channel. Paul Dean, Chairman of St Albans Cathedral Fireworks Committee, said, "The response of the people of St Albans to our crowdfunding appeal has been truly fabulous, if not wholly unexpected." John Culverhouse of Redbourne Bay's Fantastic Fireworks has been staging the St Albans fireworks for nearly 30 years. "Despite all the gloom of the lockdown, we were thrilled not only to put on a firework display this weekend, but one that sends out such a loud and clear message. The show goes on. Our teams love getting out there and rocking it to the city. This is the first year it hasn't been staged at Verulam Park due to the pandemic, and we are proud to have been part of the team effort alongside the St Albans Cathedral Fireworks Committee that enables the display to take place. The reaction to the display has been so enthusiastic that it may set a precedent for the way future displays are staged, not just in St Albans, but in other cities across the country." The opening salvo from the bell tower of the cathedral, which signalled the start of the display, was the first time in its 1,000-year history that fireworks have ever been let off from its roof.
The next story is about St Albans Girls' School and has the heading Stags at 100. St Albans Girls' School is celebrating 100 years since the school first opened this academic year. Stags first opened in 1920, based in the centre of St Albans City. As the school grew, it moved to Hatfield Road before relocating to its current home on Sandridge Bury Lane. Celebrating the school's history, staff and students opened a time capsule that was buried on the site 25 years ago. The capsule contained photos, pieces of work and a video that reflected on the life of a student in 1995. Head student Edie Kenningham-Smith said, "It is really interesting to learn about what the school was like before we were born and to now plan what we can leave in our time capsule for the next generation of Stag students." Stags are preparing an archive of the school's history. Any former Stag students with items they would like to contribute can contact the school via centenary@stags.hearts.sch.uk. And the story is accompanied by a picture of staff and students with spades in their hands, obviously digging up the time capsule.
This next article is about a local competition. The winner of the Maltings Halloween Extravaganza has been announced. 4-year-old Freddie Swan from St Albans was crowned the winner of the Halloween Scavenger Hunt competition alongside his mum, Caroline, on Wednesday, November 4th. taking home a coveted Hotel Chocolat hamper, Freddie was congratulated by Moulting Centre manager Phil Corrigan and Hotel Chocolat manager Lou Challoner. Lou said, "For the last few years, we have been involved with the Safe Trick-or-Treat that the shopping centre organise. It has been wonderful this year for the centre to come up with a slightly different way around it to make it a safe and fun experience for all. We definitely had a very happy Freddie in store collecting his fries." Looking very pleased with himself, Freddie beamed after winning the popular annual event, which was updated to stay compliant with social distancing rules. And there's a picture showing Freddie being awarded his prize.
Harpenden Resident Centennial. A Harpenden resident has celebrated her centenary with cake, prosecco, family and friends. Joan Allen marked her 100th birthday on Friday and received a card from the Queen. Born in Melbourne, Cambridgeshire, Joan joined the Women's Royal Naval Service, known as the Wrens, at the start of the Second World War before going into the family hotel business. For many years, Joan and her late husband were the proprietors of the old Sugarloaf Hotel in Dunstable. Joan was an active member of the local RNLI committee, as well as a regular at St John's Church, Harpenden. She moved to St Matthew's Care Home, Redbourne, in October 2019. She celebrated her birthday on Friday with patio visits from grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She had a second celebration on Saturday with her family, where she was surprised by a group of parishioners from St John's singing Happy Birthday.
Playground design. The winning design for a St Albans playground refurbishment has been revealed. St Albans District Council, SADC, and community charity Clarence Play have now appointed Compan to design and build the new space for Clarence Park, with work set to begin early next year, ready for completion in March. Coming a year after the public design consultation, the brief to playground companies reflected specific wish list and loves from local children, as well as feedback from families and friends. SADC and Clarence Play recognised that the final design needed to speak to both young and older children to reflect and accommodate the universal appeal of the sandpit and ensure that the most sought-after pieces of equipment were incorporated within the revamped space. Ensuring the new play area was accessible for all was critically important to the committee. Equipment needed to be inclusive and inviting for everyone. Clarence Play Chairman Louise Mann said, "We received an overwhelming number of responses from playground companies, all with such creative ideas, this really was Playground Design 2.0. The winning design scored highly against the criteria set out by the Council and Clarence Play, with Compan Design providing an imaginative, inclusive and accessible playground that will enable children of all ages and needs to play side by side with their friends. The new design will sympathetically reflect the heritage and natural beauty of Clarence Park. The design includes a bespoke miniature cricket pavilion, climbing structures, as well as musical bandstand complete with bongo drums and chime quartet, reflecting the structures within the wider park. For younger children, there is a toddler train and carriage, and a fairy tale throne will hopefully capture the attention of young kings and queens. In direct response to the community feedback, there will be equipment for older children too, which aims to challenge them both physically and mentally. The Twing Ring Sky Carousel, Double Cableway and Pendulum Swing." Louise added, "With so much emphasis placed on our parks and endless pleasure to be found there too, Clarence Play are delighted to be able to share the final design and welcome you there in the spring, a thrilling, enticing space to explore the familiar alongside the abundance of new equipment."
Man jailed for stabbing his partner and stepdaughter. A Harpenden man who subjected his partner and her teenage daughter to a frenzied knife attack has been jailed for more than 13 years. St Albans Crown Court heard that 46-year-old Gregory Williams, known as Reggie, launched an unprovoked attack on the pair in the early hours of December the 8th. He had been drinking and an argument broke out over the pet dog. Williams of South Down Road attacked his stepdaughter, who was then 18. She received 9 stab wounds to her head and neck and 2 stab wounds to her back. His then partner, who tried to intervene to stop Williams harming her daughter, also received stab wounds to her head, arms and hands. Her younger daughter, 13, ran from the house to escape the violence and called police. Williams left the home following the attack and drove off in his car before crashing on the M1. Officers found a note on him indicating he wanted respect from his partner's daughter. Williams was found guilty of 2 counts of Section 18 GBH on October the 22nd, following a 9-day trial. He also pleaded guilty to drink driving. Detective Sergeant Adam Conder from the Domestic Abuse Investigation and Safeguarding Unit said, "The attack was so quick and frenzied that neither of the victims realised that they had been stabbed. They thought they were being punched. Both victims required surgery and have suffered long-term injuries. It is likely that the daughter would have even been more seriously hurt had her mother not intervened in the assault." The 999 calls from both teenage girls were chilling to hear, and I'll never forget them. All the victims have shown great courage in dealing with this incredibly traumatic and frightening incident. Williams, who had no history of offending, was sentenced to 13 and a half years for each GBH offence, to be served concurrently. Judge Stephen Warner described the incident as a terrifying ordeal for the victims in their own home, adding, "The memory will remain with them for many years to come." Williams was also banned from driving for 12 months in relation to the drink drive offence.
My next article is about supporting independent shops in the city. For the district's health and wellbeing providers, the coronavirus pandemic has brought about sweeping changes in the way they operate. A post-lockdown revamp at Even Adam Day Spa in Catherine Street made it easier to promote social distancing, while track and trace, temperature checks, PPE changes, and a thorough clean down after every client visit ensures a totally safe environment. But now uncertainty hangs over the business once more, as the second lockdown forced it to shut up shop again. Owner Sally Shepherd said on top of the increased anxiety surrounding COVID, she is also facing a proposed rent increase, so a successful Christmas is extremely important. Without it, who knows what 2021 will bring, but the lack of social seasonal engagements is highly likely to impact on our services. We do have a very loyal client base, and people still need something to de-stress and help them feel good about themselves during such uncertain times. She is backing the Hearts Ads Shop Local campaign. "Without support for our independent shops, the reality is the city could become a ghost town," she says. "Many independents are owned by people living in St Albans and the surrounding areas who help create the city's unique personality, but this is in danger of evaporating. I understand the convenience of online shopping," she continues, "but it's also important to get out into the fresh air where you can see what you're buying rather than sitting in the same 4 walls clicking on the conglomerate websites." Robert Roop, who runs Independent Opticians Black Eyewear in George Street, says the lockdowns have made it difficult for customers to get the help they need, so he offered online ideas on how to self-maintain glasses for people stuck at home. Although they have not been hit as hard by the pandemic as other traders, thanks in part to their long-standing customer relationships, Robert is concerned about many of the small independent businesses around them, who help them to feel part of a shopping community rather than out on a limb. "Money spent with independent businesses helps to support the local economy and enrich the character of our city," he says. "Backing independently owned local retailers also affects the quality of community life in the city. Getting to know your local retail people encourages a more personal and caring contact to be developed. Check out their online shopping service at www.blackeyewear.com.
Zoom trainer thanked for keeping people fit and sane during lockdown, so they are hunky, not chunky. A personal trainer who took to Zoom to provide fitness sessions during both lockdowns has been praised for helping people's mental and physical well-being. Vicky Seneyaki, 42 years old, of Ladysgrove, St Albans, not only worked through the latter days of her second pregnancy, but was back delivering training just a few weeks after giving birth. With children Aria, aged 4, and Esme, just 4 months old, both of whom are regular features on her workouts, she delivers high-intensity interval training, circuit classes, and deep toning sessions from her living room. As the second lockdown gets into full swing, her clients wanted to thank her for the support she has given them over the past months. Bal Sandhu said, "I've been training with Vicky for 10 years now, and she has never disappointed me. So when lockdown was looming, my biggest concern was how I would remain fit. After lots of convincing, I persuaded Vicky that there was no other way than for her to get sorted with online sessions. She has helped me get going mentally and physically, and has helped so many other people without realising. We can cope with lockdown number 2, thanks to her." Tony Beck told the Hearts Advertiser, "How many other 8-month pregnant ladies would continue to demonstrate burpees and squat jumps in their online Zoom classes? She has left us all no room at all for excuses, or excuses not to give it our best. She may not be physically in the room with you, but don't think you can use it as an excuse to slack. Nothing goes unnoticed." Liz Margery added, "I was introduced to Vicky's classes during the first lockdown by my neighbours. She makes everyone feel welcomed and valued, regardless of ability, bringing a genuine and pragmatic positivity during such a difficult time and creating almost daily programmes of fitness packed with a variety of challenge. There is no doubt that the Zoom classes kept me mentally sane and physically strong during times of lockdown. And she juggled parenting, a small child, and was pregnant. I am personally immensely grateful to her for doing such an outstanding job." Anthea Harris said, "Vicky has been amazing in keeping us all going physically during lockdown and helping us keep sane. She is amazing and one of the only positives of lockdown. Katie Osborne has relished the opportunity to train remotely. During lockdown, it was an absolute revelation to just pull on my trainers, switch on my laptop and join a whole sea of smiling, sweaty faces as we worked out with Vicky. She quickly brought together a lovely community of people of all ages and abilities to work out together, and we loved it. I even got to work out with an old friend who has just moved to Vancouver. Vicky is always terrific at her job, motivating, fun and engaging. However, lockdown has shown what she can really do, and that fitness is about more than just physical and even mental health. It is also about social connection and community, even if you're doing a tricep dip next to the toaster." Ida Davis added, "Vicky has been such a lifesaver for us with her weekly programs of Zoom classes. She has helped us with our fitness and sanity. We are so grateful to her." Karen Wilson revealed, "Being at home with an adult with severe learning difficulties 24/7, Vicky has been the saving grace to my health and well-being and has kept me fit and sane." And Katrina Keltus added, "I cannot say how grateful I am to Vicky. Exercising is so important for my mental and physical well-being, and Vicky has definitely helped me to keep sane and healthy. I am forever grateful." Vicky responded, "I'm overwhelmed by these comments. I love teaching fitness. I really don't see it as work. So to teach until I nearly gave birth wasn't a question, even more so with the pandemic going on. I wanted to help motivate and keep my friends and clients healthy, both physically and mentally, during a tough time. I am very lucky to love what I do." To join Vicky's classes, search for her on Instagram, fit-with-vix, or find Vicky Seneake on Facebook. I'll spell Seneake. It's S-E-N-A-N-A-Y-A-K-E.
Teething problems at market as second lockdown kicks in. The onset of a second lockdown, with the different rules and restrictions than previously, resulted in confusion for traders and customers at St Albans Charter Market. Although the government has permitted more businesses to continue trading through this lockdown, many retailers and market traders have been restricted to just click and collect or delivery trading. Under the new regulations, although plants and shrubs can be sold on the market, flowers cannot, which resulted in police officers swooping on one trader last Saturday, forcing them to clear up their wares and leave. Councillor Mandy McNeil, portfolio holder for business, tourism and culture, admitted there have been confusion over what could be sold. While it strikes me as odd that I can go to M&S and purchase flowers on St Peter Street, but can't walk 10 steps and do the same on the market or down the road to one of our fine flower shops, new government regulations currently preclude this from happening. To that extent, SADC licensing officers let our flower traders know in advance that flowers are not permitted on the market. However, the message might have been missed, or there may have been misunderstanding, confusion from a trader over new regs, just as there was with our market officers on the ground who conflated flowers and plants. So the trader showed up and there was closed down by the police, as part of what I understand was a special police exercise that closed flower traders and multiple local authorities run markets. It seems to me that everyone is still catching up with the new regs. There has also been criticism of the market for allowing the sale of alcoholic drinks while our pubs remain shut, with the old fighting cocks singling out the mobile gin van outside the boot. Get this, mobile gin bar was set up right outside the very closed boot pub in the town centre. This is the biggest P-S take I have ever seen on any level. It's a disgrace of the highest order, said the pub on its Facebook page. Mandy explained, off-licence alcohol sales are permitted on the market. This offering has been integral to the incubation and support of many of our St Albans and Hertfordshire businesses. As you will be aware, Old Vodka, Chilton Beer, Three Brewers and Far Brew have traded on St Albans markets. The gin bar is not operating as a wet bar. It sells packaged Hertfordshire and other specialty gins. I understand that the business operated as a click and collect service on Saturday, although off-licence sales are permitted. The Saturday market was a smaller market offering, and therefore the stall was moved from the regular High Street location to outside Masters in Light /Gales, nearby to the boot, which was sadly closed. With our local retailers continuing to struggle throughout the latest lockdown, Mandley is firmly behind the Hearts Ads ongoing #ShopLocal campaign. She said, "It is absolutely devastating to see so many of our hospitality, retail and market traders' businesses closed again, and they all need our support in the face of competing with supermarkets and the giants of the digital economy. I back the Hearts Advertiser Shop Local campaign and have asked our SADC market and licensing officers to get to businesses like The Boot out of our market during lockdown and takeaways, off-license or click and collect. Officers are also exploring how we might be able to work with other businesses who have offered the use of their land in order to establish or re-establish community hubs and mini markets around the wards in order to take pressure off city centre pedestrian traffic. If we can all work together, we can help save our independent businesses."
Here are the names of people who have recently died, as announced in this week's Hearts Advertiser. Dawn Arnold, née Andrews, aged 77. Arnold Edward Smith, also known as Ted, no age given. Basil Edward Stoker, aged 88. And Mary Edith Rich, née Dunscombe, no age given. May they rest in peace.
The next story has the title, Police E-Scooters Crackdown as Part of Safety Campaign. During this month's road user campaign, which runs between November the 9th and 22nd, police officers will be educating the public about the appropriate use of electric scooters. E-scooters have increased in popularity in recent years, but they are only legal to ride on private land with the landowner's permission or as part of a government trial. Riders will be reminded by officers that when it is not part of an authorised trial, e-scooters are against the law and can result in penalty points, a fine, and the vehicle being seized. It is also illegal to ride a Segway, go-ped, or powered unicycle on public roads, cycle lanes, and pathways, as they are not considered roadworthy vehicles. Chief Inspector Rebecca Rowley-Smith from the Roads Policing Unit for Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire said, "With trials of rented e-scooters taking place around the country, some people are purchasing their own in the mistaken belief they can legally use them on public paths and roads. This is not the case, and we are finding that otherwise law-abiding citizens are inadvertently breaking the law in this way. Some parents are giving them to children to travel to school. It's important to highlight that many e-scooters have a maximum speed of 15.5 miles per hour, and some are able to exceed this, which can be dangerous for the rider and pedestrians if they are involved in a collision. Our focus is engaging with members of the community and making them aware of the law regarding e-scooters. Offenders who knowingly and persistently break the law will be dealt with appropriately. For more information on using publicly owned e-scooters, please read the government legislation. Guidance on rented e-scooters used as part of a government trial is available at www.gov.uk/guidance/e-scooter-trials-guidance-for-users. Currently, there are no e-scooter trials in Hertfordshire, but in Buckinghamshire, specifically in Aylesbury, High Wycombe and Milton Keynes, and also in Cambridge, government permission has been granted in certain areas. Visit bit.ly/hearts-echo to tell the Hearts Force your thoughts on policing in the area.
This article is about charity Christmas cards. A pop-up charity Christmas card shop has been forced to launch a click-and-collect service to cope with the restrictions of lockdown. The city's annual pop-up charity Christmas card and gift shop has popped down temporarily in line with national lockdown restrictions, but will offer a click-and-collect service from Monday. The shop was due to run from the new location of the lower hall at Dagnall Street Baptist Church in Upper Dagnall Street, having been based in St Albans Cathedral for 33 successive years. But with lockdown in force just days after the shop opened, the team needed to reassess their approach to trading over the next few weeks. The Click and Collect service will now be operating through the Cards for Good Causes website, www.cardsforcharity.co.uk/click-and-collect. With orders available for collection from the lower hall on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. The UK's leading network of pop-up Christmas card shops, Cards for Good Causes, opened at St Albans shop in record time this year, days ahead of the lockdown on Thursday. It enjoyed just 2 days brisk trading with extended opening hours before closing its doors until the end of lockdown. Manager Patricia Kataria said, "I am so proud of my team who worked tirelessly to set up our beautiful shop in record time. This enabled the St Albans community to stock up on Christmas cards and gifts ahead of Thursday's lockdown. We are delighted to offer a click and collect service during lockdown and hope that customers will take advantage of this to stock up on Christmas cards and gifts until they can come and buy from us in person once again. We sell a wonderful range of Christmas cards and gifts supporting a wide range of charities. Our pop-up shop raises £70,000 to £100,000 each year for some 250 national and local charities. These charities will all suffer if Cards for Good Causes is unable to sell its products this year."
Our Save Water campaign wins support. A campaign to reduce the amount of water being used across the St Albans district has won the backing of local residents. Affinity Water has called on households to save 10 litres of water a day, the amount we use locally above the national average. Already more than 30,000 local people have visited the campaign's water-saving website at www.getwaterfit.co.uk, which aims to leave 1 million extra litres of water in the environment. 6,600 people have also pledged their support for the campaign. St Albans MP Daisy Cooper, Councillor Chris White, District Council Leader and Portfolio Holder for Climate, Environment and Transport, and Karen Snook, who runs the St Albans Mums Facebook group, have also given their support. Now residents are being given the chance to join a team to collectively save water and earn money for the school of your choice, even if you don't have a child at that school. The website www.getwaterfit.co.uk offers personalised challenges you can complete to rack up your litres saved, which add to your school's team tally. To get as many as 80 litres in one go, St Albans residents can book a 15-minute Zoom consultation to obtain personalised water-saving advice. Affinity Water is also offering to send a COVID-safe plumber to fix leaky loos and dripping taps for free. Every litre saved from the challenge completed, an online consultation or an ordering free water saving device will be added to the local school of your choice. For every 50,000 litres a school team saves, Affinity Water will donate £1,000 to the school's PTA. Artist Zoe Andrews from Hearts Chalk Walk has been busy raising awareness of the need to save 10 a day to protect the River Vare and its wildlife by sketching pictures across the district. Each of Zoe's drawings include a different mammal, bird, insect or fish living around our rare chalk stream, the Vare. Jake Rigg, Director of Corporate Affairs and Communities for Affinity Water, said, "Saving water while earning money for a local school is a great way to help hard-pressed education budgets and to motivate St Albans residents to join in this creative campaign to #save10aday. Across the district, each person uses about 150 litres a day, 10 litres more than the UK average. And that's exactly what we're asking you to save. We don't know exactly why St Albans' use is high, but we're determined to work with our customers to reduce it. If every household joins in and installs a kit, together we'll save a huge 1 million litres a day."
Adopt a Shop campaign bids to give struggling retailers a platform. Online retailers looking for a way to showcase their products in the run-up to Christmas are being offered an innovative platform by independent businesses. As part of the Hearts Ad #ShopLocal campaign, we have partnered with St Albans gift shop Cositas to launch the Adopt a Shop initiative. This calls on estate agents, accountants, solicitors and other businesses to give over their windows as a promotional platform for local traders struggling through a second lockdown. The idea came about when founder Emma Bustamante set up an extra shop at the Village Arcade and noticed that each of the window panes was the perfect size to display a different product. She further adapted her plan in the lockdown so that customers could scan a QR code from outside, avoiding the need to enter the shop, then pay for the item on their phone and receive it from a shop assistant at the door. As well as running this scheme at her own shop, Emma has also adopted a space at the Barefoot Accountant in Redbourne, run by Ellie Stevens. Emma said, "We realised Ellie had the same windows as Cositas Gifts, and when she offered us the chance to pop up in her window, we jumped at the chance. It's a great way to tap into each other's audiences and raise awareness of our generous stock and shop outside of the city centre. It got me thinking that other businesses could do the same in an effort to give shops, salons, eateries, bars and market traders who have been forced to close an extra platform. It also shows support for all the local businesses who really are under extreme threat from the lockdown closures at the busiest time of the year. My brother's business, Fuse Innovation, helped us nail down our idea to make shopping possible even when the shops closed, and the use of QR codes make it possible to take Cositas to the Barefoot Accountant office in Redbourne. We're so thankful to both of them for helping us stay afloat in this difficult time. Well done, Hearts Ad, for this fabulous initiative. With your help, we can keep our windows open for business even if the doors are closed. If you are an independent retailer or local online business and would like to join the Adopt a Shop initiative as part of the Hearts hashtag Shop Local campaign, please contact us at heartsad@archant.co.uk.
Time for a look at some of this week's radio highlights, and we'll start with Saturday, November 14th. BBC Radio 4 Extra at 12 noon, Michael Frayn's Pocket Playhouse presents the first of four half-hour comedies starring, among others, Joanna Lumley, Alex Jennings, Ian McKellen, Alfred Molina, Martin Jarvis, Janie Dee and Stephen Fry. First broadcast in 2018, part two is on Wednesday at 5pm. The afternoon drama at 2:45 on Radio 4 is James Bond Thunderball. Toby Stevens headlines as 007 in a star-studded dramatisation by Archie Scottney of Ian Fleming's 1961 novel. Opera on 3 at 6:30pm on Radio 3 is Rossini's opera Tancredi, recorded in July 2017. Rossini is perhaps best known for his comedies, but this tale of doomed love, the first of several tragedies, is a spirited and lyrical work which was an instant success. It's almost a year since the Labour Party suffered one of its greatest defeats at a general election. On Radio 4 at 8pm, Archive on 4, How to Come Back from the Brink, explores how political parties in the past have recovered from big defeats. On to Sunday, November 15th. And on Radio 3, In Words and Music at 5:30pm, Somewhere or Other explores yearning and existence and features words by writers including Christina and Gabriel Rossetti, W.B. Yeats, Federico Garcia Lorca and A.A. Milne, with music by Schubert, Britten, Judith Weir and Maxwell Davis. At 7:30, also on Radio 3, Drama on 3, An Evening with Angela Carter. Another chance to hear productions of two of Angela Carter's radio plays from the 1970s, first broadcast in 2018, with Fiona Shaw as Angela Carter. Vampriella, about a young Englishman travelling from Transylvania, and Come Unto These Yellow Sands, about murderous Victorian painter Richard Dadd. September Tide at 8pm on Radio 4 Extra is 2002 adaptation of Daphne du Maurier's 1948 love story set in a beautiful house on a Cornish estuary where a widow is visited by her daughter and her new husband. And at 9pm on Classic FM, to finish the weekend, a new six-part series of Moira Stewart Meets begins with actor and comedy star Dawn French in the hot seat, talking about Howard Goodall's Vicar of Dibley theme tune and her part in Donizetti's opera La File de Regiment. On to programmes now that are on the same time each day right throughout the week. Monday to Friday, same time, same channel, each day. Book of the Week at 9:45 on Monday right through to Friday on Radio 4 is Black Spartacus, the epic life of Toussaint Louverture. Adrian Lester reads from Sadir Hazing's biography of the former slave, who heads an insurrection that led to the Haitian Revolution. It's repeated each day at 12:30 after midnight, so 12:30 in the morning. At 10 a.m. on Radio 4 Extra, again, Monday to Friday, you can hear the 1981 dramatisation of the gently satirical 1932 novel Cold Comfort Farm by Stella Gibbons, set in rural England. In four parts, it's repeated at 3 p.m. each day. On Radio 4, the 15-minute drama at 10:45, every day, all week, Monday to Friday, is Spice, a series of tales revolving around the possibilities of the word spice. Monday's story is The Seductive Properties of Chiffon Cake. Over to Radio 3, Composer of the Week, Beethoven, Freedom and Joy, continues at 12 noon. This week, Donald MacLeod is joined by conductor John Elliott Gardner to delve into Beethoven's 9 symphonies. On Radio 4, The Nickel Boys, Pulitzer Prize winner novel by Colson Whitehead, continues at just after midday, every day, Monday to Friday, with Fight, in which the Reform School prepares for its annual boxing match amid rumours of a fix. It's repeated if you miss it each night at 10:45 p.m. after the news. The Crime Writer at the Festival at 7:45 p.m. on Radio 4 is a series of 4 short stories, starting with The Queen of Mystery by Anne Cleves, about a crime author whose literary star is beginning to wane. And again at 10:45 on Radio 3 each night, veteran Radio 3 jazz broadcaster Geoffrey Smith presents The Essay, Jazz Among the British, and reflects on the changing perceptions and appreciation of jazz in Britain through his own experience as an American settling in the UK nearly 50 years ago. Let's go back to some highlights then for each day, starting with Monday, November 16th, beginning with a new series, The Climate Question at 9:05 on the BBC World Service. BBC reporters around the world look at new ways of understanding climate change. The first episode focuses on the US and China, asking which will have the biggest influence and in what way. Future episodes will explore, among other issues, how to stop the damage global warming is doing to us, let alone the planet. For a bit of light relief, at 3 p.m. on Radio 4 Extra, fans of Steptoe and Son can hear the first of a 13-part radio adaptation by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson of their hit TV sitcom with Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett. It's from 1966, and it's repeated at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m. on Radio 4, The Raising of Coventry, the story of the devastating Luftwaffe bombing raid on the city on the night of November 14th, 1940. The programme asks whether Churchill really did sacrifice the city to hide that the Enigma code had been cracked, and explored how the city was rebuilt in the post-war years. Told through the eyes of fictional characters together with experts and radio archive audio. And it's repeated Wednesday at 11 a.m. if you miss it. On to Tuesday, November 17th, My Albion at 11:30 on Radio 4 in the morning is a new 4-part weekly series described as a truly magical oral quest in the Radio Times. In this week's programme, The Cuckoo, presenter Zakia Sewell discusses her love of English folk music and the tension this creates with her Caribbean heritage as she considers the nature of national identity. Afternoon drama at 2:15 on Radio 4 is David Weather, a contemporary gothic thriller by Hattie Naylor starring Juliet Aubrey. When Sam is abandoned by her husband, she's devastated. When a crow turns up in her garden, Sam takes it in and nurtures it. But this will drive her to the edge of madness. In Radio 3 in concert at 7:30 p.m, Tony McKinney introduces the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra and cellist Sheku Kanu Mason in a concert recorded last Tuesday, followed by an archive recording featuring the CBSO to mark their centenary, with music by Sibelius, Elgar and Beethoven. Living with the Dragon at 8 p.m. on Radio 4 is presented by Nick Robinson, who examines how successive British governments have handled the UK's relationship with China, and what that can tell us about dealing with the superpower today. And don't forget, it's Tuesday, so in touch at 8:40 on Radio 4 in the evening for news and information for the blind and partially sighted. Wednesday, November 18th, on Radio 4 at 2:15, Cornerstone is a new drama filled with pathos and humour about one woman's epiphany and the power of a community. Katie has learned to keep a lid on her simmering anger, but then her daughter announces she is leaving, and the local library is threatened with closure. Still on Radio 4 at 4 p.m, the subject of thinking aloud this week is deportation. Laurie Taylor and guests discuss the Black Britons who've been returned to Jamaica over the past 2 decades and the long history of deportation in the US. Radio 3 in Concert at 7:30 presents a programme recorded at the Barbican in London featuring Vaughan Williams on One Lock Edge with tenor Ian Bostridge and Poem de l'Amour et de la Mer by Choussaint, a lilac-scented evocation of a doom seaside romance with mezzo Sarah Connolly, followed by an archive recording of Simon Rattle conducting the CBSO in Elgar's Falstaff. And how about a half hour of vintage comedy on Radio 4 Extra? Or maybe an hour. At 7 p.m. you can listen to Hancock's Half Hour from 1959. And at 7:30 p.m. After Henry from 1988. Thursday, November 19th, the new series of Crossing Continents begins at 11 a.m. on Radio 4 with Martinique, The Poisoning of Paradise. Tim Wellwell reports on the use of the toxic pesticide chloricone on the banana plantations of Martinique, which has been linked to an unusually high rates of cancer to the islanders. It's repeated Monday at 8:30 p.m. More vintage comedy on Radio 4 Extra at 12 noon with Beyond Our Ken from 1961. It's also at 7 p.m. The afternoon drama at 2:15 p.m. on Radio 4 is Redacted, a political thriller by Hugh Costello about a senior civil servant charged with reading through 30-year government documents before they're released to the press and censoring anything deemed too sensitive. He suddenly finds himself faced with a moral dilemma. It's starring Greta Sacchi and Nicholas Murchie. And Radio 3 in Concert at 7:30 p.m. to finish. Live from the City Halls, Glasgow, features Fanfare for the Uncommon Woman by Joan Tower, John Adams' Shaker Loops, and Schumann's Symphony No. 2 in C, all performed by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and presented by Jamie McDougall. Lastly, we come to Friday, November 20th. In the afternoon concert at 2 p.m. on Radio 3, the BBC singers perform choral music to mark the first anniversary of the death of Stephen Cleobury, the much-admired organist who spent 37 years at King's College, Cambridge, presiding over a famous chapel choir and annual festival of nine lessons and carols. The programme includes music by Britten, Judith Weir, Elgar, Vaughan Williams and The Shepherd's Carol by Bob Chilcott. Radio 4 afternoon play Blue Thunder by Porrick Walsh, a family drama set in a small town island about lives spinning out of control. More vintage comedy on Radio 4 Extra at 7 p.m, The Navy Lark from 1971. And at 7:30 p.m. to finish the week, Radio 3 in Concert features the BBC Symphony Orchestra with cellist Abel Sellico and his trio Chabsaba in a vibrant fusion of world music and improvised jazz in a concert recorded on Tuesday at the Royal Festival Hall, all part of the London Jazz Festival. As ever, may I wish you a peaceful, safe and enjoyable week of radio listening.
We have now come to the end of this recording. So from Alison, Claire, Kalpana, Peter and John, and from me, Alex, goodbye, stay safe, and here's to the next time.